You are listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM. Thanks for listening.
Home is where I wanna be. Pick me up and then turn me round. I feel known, born with a weak heart. Guess I must be having fun. As we say about it, the better. Make it up as we go along. Feet on the ground, head in the sky. It's okay, I know nothing's wrong. Nothing. I got plenty of time. You got light in your eyes. Standing here beside me, I love the passing of time. Never for money, always for love. Cover up and say goodnight. Say goodnight. Home is where I wanna be, but I guess I'm already.
Kicking off the show with some Iron and Wine covering the Talking Heads' This Must Be the Place. Thanks for listening. You're tuning into Art in Your Ear here on WMNF 88.5 FM. WMNF Tampa, the best station in the nation, I think. I might be biased. So glad you're listening. We have, oh, holy cow, such a good show for you today. Bonnie Agin is going to get on the line and chat with us. She's just a bright star, a bright, bright star. We're going to be talking about Studio at 620's Radio Theater Project. It's on Monday night, and we're going to be chit-chatting about what they're doing and radio theater and that whole thing. If you want to join the conversation, you can do that by email, dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. And if you do text or email and you, it's okay to send a shout out on the air, please put your name in it. So it's better than me giving your phone number out, I would believe. Also, I want to let you know the support for WMNF comes from our wonderful members and Rhyming with Miss Ida, specializing in children's rhyming books such as Poor Old Goat, Sad Little Dog, and more. Details of Miss Ida's children's books are at rhymingwithmissida.com. Hey, a little bit later, I have also lined up to play. I've got the next song is we're going to take a trip to the liquor store. And after that, I've got another no, some Big Spiderbeck. And then I have for you If I can get it on, a Bohemian Rhapsody with a little shout out to cats and a dog song. So there we go. Lots of stuff here on the airways of WMNF. I'm going to get to that liquor song right now. This is going back, I think, to 1984. And seems right to play after rehab. And it's a gentleman named Ted Hawkins. And the song is called Sorry, You're Sick.
My darling, I'm telling you this to let you know that I'm sorry you're sick. Though tears of sorrow won't do you no good, I'd be your doctor if only I could. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I'll buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more. I'd swim the ocean or the deepest canal to get to you, darling, just to make you well. There's no place on earth I would hasten to go to cool the fever, this I want you to know. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I'll buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more. If only the doctor would hurry and show, there's quite a few places I know we could go. I was okay, but these words from you stating you sick made me sick too. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I'll buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more. Promise me, darling, that you won't die. I'll get all the medicine money can buy. Stick with me, baby, hold on and fight. Take a good rest, I won't prolong the flight. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I'll buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more. What do you want from the liquor store? Something sour or something sweet? I'll buy you all that your belly can hold. You can be sure you won't suffer no more.
And that is Ted Hawkins. What can I get you from the liquor store in case when you're sick? Bunny, what do you get from the liquor store when you're sick?
Well, Ellen, I don't drink.
Then the answer would be nothing.
Nothing. I haven't been in a liquor store for, I don't remember when.
I was just, that just song just made me crack up last night, and I was like, I got to play this for the people. Bonnie Agin, welcome back to the airwaves of WMNF and Art in Your Ear. Thank you so much for making the time to chat with us today.
You're
the ringmaster. Can I say ringmaster, ringmistress, ring?
I'd love that.
Ringleader.
Yeah. It is a circus, that's for sure.
Radio Theater Project at the studio at 620 is on Monday night, and it, as just reading the first sentence, cops, turkey, octopus. The Radio Theater Project has them all as it once again looks at relationships, family, and otherwise. So I have to say that I often don't have octopus in my family relationship. So in the past, I think, yeah, there has been cops. What are you guys doing Monday night?
Well, we have a number of different, very different shows. And one is, it's a very sweet sort of look back, the Thanksgiving one, and it's three generations of women getting ready for Thanksgiving, and it's kind of a bittersweet one. And then Cops, it's a guy, that a retired cop who wants to go back into business, and he wants to get back to work, and he goes in for a very awkward interview, and Lisa Tracomi is going to be in it, and Bill DeYoung, and Dean Wick.
God, so that's what a cast.
Yeah. So I took it back to the cast for the three women. It's Tracy Reynolds, Lisa Tracomi, again. She's my star, you know, all-star hitter out there.
Right.
And Mamie Rice.
Wow.
And then the next one is, so I always like to end, leave them laughing, you know, isn't that what they say?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So and leave them laughing. We have a story. It's about... The it's a love triangle between a research scientist who is played by Juliana Dittmeyer, an octopus with an attitude, which will be played by Bob Devin Jones, and then a sort of snooty older peer. And, of course, David Warner will be doing that.
That sounds great. So three plays. So Monday night, there's three plays at Studio 620, Radio Theater Project. But what, you know, this is not, it's very dissimilar. It's overlapping, but dissimilar in a lot of ways to just a script reading, like a staged reading.
Oh, yeah. And then, did I mention, I did not, that we have a fabulous, fabulous Foley and sound designer, Matt Cowley,
mm-hmm.
and he is coming back to us. We had our first in-person performance last month, and he provided all the sound design, and of course, Marcus Wiebe, the magic man at the studio at 620, facilitated it, but we didn't have a live in-person Foley, and Matt is going to be there Monday night, and I'm so excited.
And that, I have to say, when I've done the radio theater, sometimes I get a little distracted, mm-hmm. but I have learned to pay so much attention with my ears, because it's hard to, like, when Matt is doing the sound effects, it's so interesting to watch, because what a sound effect you might assume is created one way, but then no, that's not necessarily true. It could be created, I think he was using like spaghetti strands, like hard uncooked spaghetti strands ones. I forget what it was to make a noise. And I was like, what?
You just never know what he's going to come up with. And that's what's so funny. You're right. It is so funny. He is truly the visual entertainment. And the rest of us, just listen. That's all.
And then, so we're listeners, we're talking about Radio Theater Project at 620, which had its very, very, very early roots here at WMNF, and then moved over, and we still, I think it's in production right now. We still do radio theater here with our Patch and Click series, but it's not, I don't think it's a brand new one out right now. So I'm wondering now, are you the person, or who chooses the scripts for?
I do. So, we have a dramaturg. I mean, how lucky is that? And it's Jim Wicker. And he often spends the summer sitting up in his lovely cabin in the mountains of North Carolina, going through hundreds of scripts. And we're very lucky. We've got a reputation, evidently, and people are submitting scripts all the time. So I have to say, every year, every month, the stories get better and better.
So are
and
the scripts
are writing for radio again?
That's what I want to ask. I want to talk about that, because a script that's written to be heard is I would imagine a fundamentally different script, or maybe not, from one that is there in a more sort of 360-degree presentation.
I would say yes most of the time. However, every now and then. I mean, some of them are, you know, borderline, so we do convert them. And, you know, I get permission from the playwright, and they allow me to add some maybe extra sound effects or put them in or try something different, and then they approve it before we go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But is that because, like, when you're reading and looking at something, or if you're looking, you know, not people sending, but you're like, I'm going to read, and, you know, are you able to, and I'm not sure if even visualize is the best way to say it, but understand how it will sort of roll out as you read the script, understanding how it will turn out to be for the audience member? Because I just want to talk a little bit, flesh that out a little bit, about how everybody sort of designs for the audience.
Well, I'm not quite sure how to answer that.
Sorry. Well, I was just thinking, you know, because there's in a regular play, they might have a stage direction, and that stage direction, you know, to go down to stage right, which is crossing the entire stage, can be done in so many ways, where there is a you know, unwritten things that the actor or the director can choose to put in there that can change the mood or do that. So in radio, I mean, obviously there's an audience and people are watching, but I'm kind of wondering how, when those unwritten things that have to happen in a play, how that is managed in a radio play, in one that is technically supposed to be just heard, not you guys are seeing and hearing, but, you know, how does the unspoken or the unwritten get translated into a audio thing?
Well, you know, hopefully, if we're lucky, somebody who actually wrote a really good radio script, it'll be there. It'll just be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, sometimes we have to doctor it up a little bit. And then sometimes even when we're rehearsing, we all of a sudden realize that this needs this and that needs that. So it's all of those things.
Mm-hmm. And then you've directed all three?
No. Lisa Lippincott is going to help me direct this time.
Wow.
She's a wonderful director.
And Lisa Lippincott, that also was studying welding. She's amazing.
Oh, that one, yes.
God, wow.
Maybe she can do a little welding.
You need a welding play.
Yes. And so sometimes Jim Rayfield directs also.
Right.
Of course, you know him. He's a great director.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always looking for more directors. I'm always trying to not do so much work.
Right, I know. You have a lot on your plate. I thought you were supposed to be taking it easy.
I know.
So there's different people doing it. I want to sort of take one step back, and if you don't mind, I want to remind listeners, I'm speaking with Bonnie Agin. We're talking about the Radio Theater Project at Studio at 620 in downtown St. Pete. They have a performance this coming Monday night at 7 p.m. How did you first get involved with the Radio Theater Project?
Well, I'm trying to remember the year, but it was, at least 10 years ago. And it was Mimi and Rich Rice, and they put together this group. I think we first started doing it, she started with a play reading group, and then it sort of evolved into that. She went to Bob Devon Jones, and said, why don't we do a radio theater group? And, of course, Bob, the answer is always yes, at the studio at 620. And so she just gathered some people that she knew who were actors. We had, I don't know if you remember, people like Ron Satloff. He was a producer. He did a lot of TV shows like, he did a lot of TV shows in the 70s and 80s. And he retired here. And Bob Heitman was a soap opera star. He retired here. So we had some great people to start with. Julia Flood was in the original group from Eckerd Theater.
Right, yeah.
That's kind of how we started, and Mimi just called actors that she knew. And I think we started with local playwrights, and then it has just sort of evolved over the years. And we have done some old-time radio stuff. The Lux Radio Theater has some just wonderful scripts, as you can imagine. And I like to throw in one every year, but Matt Cowley doesn't. This is not an old time. So anyway, I try to sneak one in on that.
Distract him.
I know.
Well, so now you're, I think, too young to have listened to the height of radio theater on, you know, in the 30s and the 40s. So I don't think you have that, but do you have...
Thank you, Joelle.
You are, but I wonder if you have, if it was something that you encountered before this, like if that was something that did still show up in your life before the Studio at 620 involvement.
Actually, my spouse likes old radio theater, and he would listen to like The Shadow and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a Washington's WAMU maybe that used to do that, or WOR. He used to listen to that at night in his shop. So I would occasionally get some of that.
Right, the sense of it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you're a theater professional, a local theater goddess.
And actually, I used to work in radio.
I did not know that.
Of course not. It's my secret path.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I worked for 20 years in radio. I was a copywriter, and then at the time when I first started, okay, now I'm going to totally age myself, there were no females on air.
That doesn't surprise me.
So every now and then a script would come along that required a female, and I was an operations manager of this automated station, FM station, which it was crazy. It was my first job out of college, and so they would say, oh, we need a female voice, Bonnie, can you do it? So I did that, And
wow.
So then I would start writing scripts that required female voices.
Smart cookie.
Because I was a copywriter in my next job. So that's kind of how it all came about. And, you know, and I took acting in college, so it all was just kind of blended together.
You know, my first time I was on the radio, I was 14 years old. I won a contest. And I've told this story before. Also, for longtime WNF listeners, it turns out that Pat Chambers, who was on the station years ago, was the person who put the contest on. But I didn't know at the time. He told me when we figured out that I was also the first woman to play music, and I wasn't a woman. I was 14 on the radio, on that radio station, and that was not. I mean, it was long ago. It was a really long time ago, but it was, you know.
You know, it's
Richard Nixon wasn't president anymore. That's how
right. I mean, really, it's kind of shocking when you think about it that no women in radio at
right.
all.
Well, I want to go back to radio theater, the radio theater project at Studio at 620. I kind of want to walk through what an audience member, because I think a lot of people have not gone to see radio theater, radio theater. So kind of what is the experience that people will have? Is there parts where the audience sort of, like, what's their presence doing, I guess, is part of it. Like, how does having an audience make it different than just sort of saying, okay, we're going to record this and just broadcast it? Like, what's the difference there?
Well, it's the last show that we did, it's interesting because somebody came, they were new to town, and he wanted to see what radio theater was about, and he was thinking about submitting a script. And so he came to our rehearsal, and that was, you know, one thing. And then he came to the actual performance, and he was just agog at the difference. Because, I mean, it's just like it's like any theater. Once you have that loop going between you and the audience, it just brings such life into it. And, you know, we feed off of their reaction, and they react to us. And it was magic. And he is a television and movie producer, and so he's used to being around actors and performers, but just this live thing was so amazing to him, and he just couldn't believe it. So I hope that answers your question.
No, that does. That's really great. And I will say, it's very, it is a different, slightly different thrill than going to a straightforward play, to radio theater. It's a different experience as an audience member. It's a different experience, and I've not performed at the radio theater 620 project, but I have here and at other radio theater things, and it's different as a performer because the part of your body you rely sort of the most on is your head, the way you move and the way you shape things and the way you breathe and stuff like that. But it's definitely, as an audience member, there's something that seems a little extra and intimate in a good way, you know, because I think it's because you do see part of it being done, you know, like you understand, it shows you this is how sound is done, and this is, you know, it sort of reminds you of how we work within theater, like how theater is built, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's participation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's total audience participation, and we need them, and yeah, and that's, it's like I said, it's kind of a magic thing happens.
So now the radio theater goes, is it October through April? I can't remember, I'm sorry. I should know this.
It is, it's, October through May.
Through May.
Yeah.
And
usually the fourth Monday of every month, but of course there are always exceptions. Like December, we're doing it on the 20th, and I think May is a...
That's all right. That's a long time away. No one's going to remember.
Yeah, right. But it's usually the fourth Monday of the month, except for December.
And then is it sort of a cat, like pretty much the same casting with a few extras and directing, or does it, how, is there like a troupe, the sense of that there's a radio theater troupe?
I would say that we pretty much have a stable of people. and you know, and I think, you know, St. Petersburg is blessed to have a lot of really wonderful actors here, and they're always, you know, thankfully happy to participate, and because it's one of those things where you know, you don't have to spend the script's in front of you, so you don't have to memorize everything. So that's always a great treat, and it's just fun. Mm. And we do pay, of course. So
that's good.
So it's just a matter of a lot of times when I look for a script and I am reading them, I have people in mind who I want to do it. So I reach out to see if they're in town, if they're available, because I know people, you know, are working out of town a lot or coming and going. So that's kind of how it all gets put together.
Oh, okay. And what has changed over the years that you're doing it? Because were there some, we used to do just comedy, but now we have a mixture? I mean, what, you know, because listen, you know, when you were talking about the Chopping Celery play by, is it Connie Schindewolf?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and talking about a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter. And that is something that many of us have been through in good and bad. And also many of us would love to be able to do again, but never can for good
That's
and bad.
Very much what this play is about, really. That's exactly it. I would say that the radio theater has changed a lot in that, first of all, we're just getting really better quality scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kind of have it down, you know, with the Foley and when it comes in and all that. So, I mean, Matt is just, you know, he's so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would say that's mostly, and we're also getting more plays that are written for radio.
Right.
I mean, we don't have to convert them as much.
So there's you doing this. Are you aware of other organizations doing radio theater on the regular?
I am in contact with somebody, I'm trying to think, in L.A. They're doing a black radio theater group, and he sends me some of their stuff. And but other than, I think in Chicago, I'm told they have a very vibrant radio theater group there. One or two. So I know that there's one. There's more than one in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to switch things a little bit. Do these get recorded?
They do. They get recorded, and they go to SoundCloud.
And if someone wanted to listen to past ones, how would they find that SoundCloud?
They go to...
Should they look up radio theater?
Ask me tricky questions.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that.
It's SoundCloud at radiotheater.org, I think. But let me confirm that.
Okay, and radio theater is spelled the British way, T-R-E?
The British way.
Why do people do that? I don't understand.
I don't know. You know, I didn't do that.
I know.
<That's funny laughs>
I know. I would not expect you to do that. I would say that.
No.
But I always give props.
Some pop is a little snooty to me.
I know. I mean, I love it. That's something that, and I think that probably the job site people roll their eyes at me by now, but I'm like, thank you for spelling it the American way. And
yeah.
I'm not even that person that, you know, that does, I don't know. I just, spelling bothers me.
I know, me too. But, yeah.
So, okay. So we're going to say for now, SoundCloud, Radio Theater, TRE. And if not, we will put up a link after the show anyway to it so people can listen to those things. Bonnie, can I ask, are you doing any other projects that people... anything going on that...
Somebody might want to come see?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you asked. in the last week in April, the first week in May, I'm going to be doing the play Anne. It's about Anne Richards. And the actress, Holland Taylor, wrote it.
Whoa.
Performed it on Broadway for quite a long run. And it's being done in other regional theaters, and I'll be doing it at the studio at 6:20.
That's fantastic.
And Lisa Tracomi is directing me.
That's what I guess I'm going to invite you on the show right now.
Okay.
Is that, do you feel that's also something that has changed? I mean, we started the conversation, you're talking about being right out of college and wanting to write roles for yourself, you know, writing so you can have roles for yourself in these mm-hmm. different things. And now... you know, a couple years later, having, it seems like there are more plays and more opportunities for women who are not, you know, 28 years old or 30 years old. And Ann Richards as a subject and Holland Taylor as a writer seems fascinating. So is that, how has that changed for you over the years as material, stuff that you want to do?
Well, there aren't a lot of things for women my age anymore, I got to say. And so I am always looking for opportunities of things that I can just go, just do it myself.
Right, right.
Because you kind of have to.
There was an interview, and I'm blanking out. Oh, it was Judi Dench, Dame Judi Dench. And there was an interview with her that I was watching, and it was recorded probably in 1995 or 96 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about going through all sorts of plays and classic plays when she knew people would be producing them somehow, and doing a treatment of roles that she wanted to do that were traditionally male and sending them out. And I was, you know, and that she felt that she had to be proactive about it because no one was going to do it otherwise. Like, no one was going to think about doing it.
Right.
And I always thought that, you know, one, it's kind of a shame that that had to happen, but two, what a great way to start people reimagining, like taking every single expectation they have and questioning their expectations and thinking, oh, maybe that doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. She's done that with a lot of Shakespeare. I mean, mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah, and then she was on, and my parents went to see her. She and that's why I saw the interview is, and I now of course I'm blanking on it, but it wasn't The Importance of Being Earnest, but it was kind of a play like that. And she was playing, you know, a lead role that was traditionally a or one of the lead roles that was traditionally a lord, and she was like, it's gonna be a lady, and partied her butt off in it.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, why not? I mean, I'm sure a lot of them can be converted that way.
And does that, now, do you do some of the acting within the radio theater shows?
I did last month. I cast myself.
You're allowed to do that, I would imagine.
And it was a lot of fun. It was a bunch of, it was three sisters on a vacation to help one of them get over her deceased husband and to get her out.
So, right.
And so it was a really fun adventure thing, and it had a lot of humor in it, and it was fun. And it was just kind of age appropriate, so I did that. However, I don't usually perform just because I kind of have my hands full with everything mm-hmm. else, but I couldn't resist.
Is there an ideal number of people to have in a play, in a radio theater play?
Well, we only have four microphones, so there you go.
That's like the studio. Sorry, I can't have more guests.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know that we'd want a lot more, and we do, you kind of have to choreograph it if you have a bigger cast, you know, who gets to the mic and who stands back so the other person can get there. So it's almost like a little dance that we do to get everybody to the mic on time for their role.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of fun there, too.
Right. And is that, you know, thinking about having this certain amount of people in the show, are there other considerations? Because I realize you're looking at scripts and you're thinking about people in them and you're, you know, are you looking at scripts that have a high Foley potential or?
Oh, sure. Always, I want to put Matt to work.
Right.
Let him do what he does so well.
Or you can always like set a challenge, like, okay, Matt, you have to do this, but you're going to be on a platform 10 feet up in the air and try to entertain people that way.
Well, you know, he's unflappable, so I think he would do it.
He is very much so. And so I have another question about these plays. Have you gone back and listened to the SoundCloud recordings?
I do. Unfortunately, in the last couple of years, we've had a lot of memorials to some of our members who have who we've lost.
Right.
Rice, Ron Satloff, Bob Heitman. So it was a great treat for me to go back and find some clips from all of them and to listen to them. And it's just I just get lost in it. I just go down this rabbit hole and listen for hours.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to your friends, like it
yeah,
keeps them
yeah.
there. But are they, do they end up sounding different than what you thought they would be, even with the knowledge of having to do this? Like what's, when you're just listening and there's absolutely no visual, how is that different when you guys are performing, or is there like not comparable?
Well, I always find it amusing. Because I was there and I kind of know how this happened or how this, you know, it's just, it's entertaining for me.
Well, that's the most important thing, obviously.
I remember how they just ran up to the microphone. They forget, yeah, just,
All right. So let's give the deets out for Monday night.
The SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com. What do you call that thing that goes to the side? Slant.
Right.
Radio Theater Project.
Project. Okay. And we'll post, dear listeners, we'll post the link on both our WMNF.org Art in Your Ear page and on our Facebook Art in Your Ear page. Please follow us so you know what's going on. So Monday night, the 22nd, at 7 p.m. it starts. What time should people plan on arriving?
Well, I'm so glad, because Paul Wilborn, another stalwart member of our troupe, always comes a little early, and we have a little cabaret. He plays the piano and sings, and it's just so much fun. And then he also entertains at intermission. So if you want to come for the cocktail hour around the piano bar, people start showing up usually about 6:30.
6:30. See, yeah. This is why I play these liquor star songs.
Exactly.
I know that there's going to be something.
Yeah.
And then, and there's parking, there's street parking there. There is an admission to it, but it's an admission. You're supporting the arts and supporting
the
artists.
It's nominal, I got to say.
It's not much.
Very, yeah.
And then people can look forward to seeing a radio theater every single month, usually the fourth Monday of the month, but not always, through May.
Right.
And then you take a break.
Yes. And then Matt goes back up to his cabin in the Jim Wicker goes back up and reads through all the scripts for the next season.
It sounds like a really nice way to spend
Well, I'm so grateful to him because, and then he gives me a synopsis so I can kind of go, let me look through that. So,
right.
Yeah, I'm very lucky, yeah.
So the plays, and just once again, I want to real quickly say the first play is Saint Rita, and that is by Jay English, about a retired detective. Chopping Celery by Connie Schindewolf, which is the three generations together for Thanksgiving. And Jane Walker has Deep Encounter, which is featuring Bob Devin Jones playing an octopus, which that alone is pure gold.
I know.
And if you want more information, you can go online to The Studio at, spelled out, AT620, The Studio at 620.org. 620 is located at 620 First Avenue South in beautiful downtown St. Pete. And then their phone number is 727-895-6620 if you want more information there. Did I leave anything out?
No, but I would suggest, did you get the website for the studio at 620? That's really kind of the best way to reserve.
Right, yeah, and that's the studio at 620.org for it, and it's right under events. So, well, cool. Bonnie, thank you so much for doing this.
Ellen.
Thank you. I was thrilled. When you said yes, I did the happy dance, and dog barked at me.
Well, have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. And are there any, it's not Break a Leg. Is there any radio theater good luck we should know about?
I'd say Break a Leg. Yeah.
Break a Leg? Okay. Well, then.
Yeah.
Tell everybody to break a
lip.
Leg. Break
a lip, I guess.
Break a what? Break a lip. That sounds kind of scary and gross.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to go out with a little Big Spiderbeck, and this is the Ostrich Walk. I regret not having an octopus walk, but here's Big Spiderbeck. Thank you, Bonnie Agin.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, I do want to let you know what's going on for the rest of the day here. I can see musicians streaming into the building to play on the live music showcase. That's at 2 p.m. here, just after the NPR news. Coming up next is E-Love's wonderful radio program. She plays a global electronica mix that is just it's all about your head, heart, and soul, and then your body moving around. Just a fantastic show. One of my favorite shows to drive to, which is the highest compliment for me. After E-Love and live music showcase, so 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock is the Reverend Billy and Marvelous Marv do Rhythm Revival, and they go deep into the vault for the early roots of rock and roll, gospel, country, rock, and then always have some interesting and fun music to play there. And then we get into our Friday night. That is The Hitman, Steve the Hitman, with classic R&B and soul on the Soul Party. Then we've got the Soul Kitchen with Eddie G and Dave, Big Eddie G and David. And that is really a smorgasbord of all sorts of soul, all sorts of black-led music. Never know what you're going to hear, but it's always delightful. That's definitely appointment radio. And followed by the great Chuck Cord Jr., and he plays Florida R&B, Florida soul, and gets a little body, gets a little dirty, gets a little down there. So don't touch that radio dial. Stick with us, won't you?
This is a WMNF public service announcement. WMNF is hosting a holiday drive in support of the Bautista Project, a local nonprofit that provides basic living essentials and support to assist homeless community members. From November 29th through December 5th, we will be collecting items such as socks, sweaters, backpacks, and travel-sized toiletries. You may drop off your donations at the station and at the 6th Annual You Get Out Festival. More details, including a full list of items, drop-off locations, and times, can be found at WMNF.org/holidaydrive.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide,
no
escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. Little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, and I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again, nothing really matters. Too late, my time has come. Send shivers down my spine, body aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah.
a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt of lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo,
Figaro,
Mythico. Oh, I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
No, we will not let you go, let him go. We will not let you go, let him go. We will not let you go, let me go. We'll not let you go, let me go. We'll not let you go.
Let me go.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia,
mamma mia, let me go.
That's Lake Street Dive covering Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't know if you heard them meow, 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 meow in there. But first, before we go on, I want to play this important community announcement.
The ukulele, the instrument from Hawaii, is now one of the hottest instruments in rock. Even Eddie Vedder plays the ukulele.
'Cause all my time is spent here, longing to belong.
Uke It Out, WMNF's 6th Annual Ukulele Festival. There will be over a dozen ukulele performers, including Apple Butter Express Duo. You'll hear reggae, rock, blues, country, and more. Plus, there's a Beatles jam open to all ukulele players and a Muddy Waters of the Ukulele Contest.
Man, yeah. I'm a full-grown man.
WMNF's 6th Annual Ukulele Festival, Friday, December 3rd at New World Brewery in Tampa at 7. And Saturday, December 4th at Cage Brewing in St. Pete at 4. Tickets $17 advance, kids 12 and under free. Go to WMNF.org or 813-238-8001.
Proof of a negative COVID-19 test result taken within 72 hours before the show is required for entry. Or proof of full vaccination may be substituted for a negative COVID-19 test result.
All right, I'm going to play this song for you. It was something I just heard this morning called No, 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 No. And it's my new favorite protest song, even though I've only heard it for a few hours. This is called No by Billy Nomates.
I'm telling you this.
Oops, no, Ted Hawkins, stop. Ted Hawkins just wanted to come back to the liquor store. Here we go.
Together, but no is a power. Anytime,
though it's not always for the best. People run off just because they can. Yes, I am the same as him. No, I don't feel like celebrating. Yes, it's true what they say sometimes. No to protein shakes and mirrors. Yes to running at night fearless. No dying to get skinny, trust me. No to consuming the digital narratives. No to the pointless comparatives. These people mostly hate themselves. I've been one of them. You have my word. Everybody twist for me. Oh, come on and crack your knees for me. Bend your back and please, baby. No. Everybody twist for me. Oh, come on and crack your knees for me. Bend your back and please, baby. No. Everybody twist for me. Oh, come on.
Hey, I want to say hi to Claude. Thank you. Break a lip. It's going to be my new thing to say. Hey, thanks so much for listening. We're going to have a little Friday I'm in Love in the background while we go out. Coming up next, of course, is the NPR News, followed by the wonderful E-Loves program. And we're going to get that started. And I hope you'll stick with us. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. On the lists of my gratitude, my deep, deep gratitude is to the listeners and very much so to the supporters of this show and all of WMNF. And I'm also ever so grateful to all of the volunteers that make this station go forward. Thank you for being part of this wonderful, wonderful radio station. Listeners, thank you so much for being out there. You are listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF, the best little station in the nation. I do hope to chat at you next week. We'll probably have a nice music show right after Thanksgiving. So put us on. We'll do the background. Maybe I'll get Mike Vinyl to send me a food list from his great Route 66 show. Thanks for listening to WMNF Tampa. Stay tuned for the NPR News.